through the full presentation, providing overviews of key issues that the community and the GNSO and CCNSO will be addressing in Seoul. And then we've left the last half hour of this session to answer questions that have been raised. If by chance we don't get through all the questions that are raised on today's webinar, we'll be following up and responding to those questions via email. So the goals for this session are to update the community on the current policy work that the GNSO and CCNSO communities are engaged in, and to invite you to participate. We'll be, in particular, reviewing the issues that will be discussed by the GNSO and CCNSO at the ICANN Seoul meeting, which starts next week. We also want to, of course, answer your questions to the best that we can on any of the issues that we raise. And at the end, we also really appreciate your input on whether or not you found this session valuable and any suggestions you might have for improving this type of format and issues you'd like to have future briefings on. As I mentioned, this also is being used to help prepare community members who are interested in getting up to speed for the ICANN Seoul meeting. The official start date for that meeting is October 25th, and it runs through the 30th. Of course, many of the community members start working Saturday and Sunday before, and participation is strongly encouraged in all of the sessions. A key focus for ICANN's Seoul meeting will be the affirmation of commitments that the ICANN recently signed with the U.S. Department of Commerce. There, in particular, there are three community-driven reviews that are committed to in the agreement, and in particular, our CEO, Rod Beckstrom, will want to discuss with the community not only the general commitments and objectives of the affirmation agreement, but also start to have preliminary discussions about the best way to implement those reviews and work with the community on those elements. Another important focus of this whole meeting will be new GTLDs. The most recent version of the draft applicant guidebook, as you probably know, was posted in early October, and several elements of that and issues relating to that will be the focus of public workshops in Seoul, including vertical separation, mitigating malicious conduct, trademark protection, and root zone scaling. All of the new GTLD-related public events are highlighted on the Seoul schedule. We encourage you to take a look at that and click on the various sessions for more specific background information about their agenda and presenters. And finally, the third important focus of this whole meeting will be the IDN CCTLD Fast Track. Bart Boswinkel will be telling you more about the substance of that later in this call. The final proposed implementation plan for the IDN CCTLD Fast Track program was posted and will be the focus of several sessions in Seoul. And this final implementation plan is pending with the board for potential action in Seoul. So the topics that we're going to focus on for this call are listed on the slide here. They include GNSO restructuring and improvement. Rob Hogarth will be giving you an overview on that. Inter-registrar transfer policy, post-expiration domain name recovery, and registration abuse policies. Marisa Konings will be providing an overview on all of those issues which are pending within the GNSO. Liz Gaster will bring you up to date on the Who Is issue and in particular the Who Is studies that the GNSO have been working to advance. Margie Milam will provide you with an update on the activities of the GNSO relating to the RIA amendment and registrant rights efforts. And she also will be giving you a quick overview of the new GTLD implementation-related activities and a policy activity that the GNSO is engaged in on new GTLD. Bart Boswinkel will we'll give you a quick briefing on the IDN policy development process that the CCNSO is engaged in, as well as more substance on the IDN fast track activity. Again, you're encouraged to enter questions in the Adobe Connect box. We'll be running through these topics and then taking questions. I've mentioned the policy staff that are on the call and presenting today. There are many others that work to support the supporting organizations and advisory committees and all of their related communities, and they're listed on these two slides. Of course, policy is developed at ICANN by the supporting organizations, specifically the GNSO, Generic Name Supporting Organization, CCNSO, the Country Code Name Supporting Organization, and ASO, the Address Supporting Organization. We, of course, are focusing on the GNSO and CCNSO for this session, and a critical part of this policy-making effort is the advice that the community receives from our key advisory committees, including the At-Large Advisory Committee, the Security and Stability Advisory Committee, the Cyber Systems Advisory Committee, and finally the Governmental Advisory Committee. The key issues being addressed by the GNSO, many of which I've touched on and will be discussing in this presentation, are listed on this slide. That isn't nearly all the work that the GNSO is engaged in at this point. They have 13 working groups and work teams underway at the moment, and we'll be actually adding at least one more in Seoul. It's an extremely busy time for the GNSO. With that, I'd like to turn the slides over to Rob Hogarth to give you an update on the GNSO improvements and restructuring activities. Rob?
Thank you, Denise. Welcome, everybody, and good day to those of you around the world. Appreciate you all participating in this event. Many of you, as I note on the Adobe Acrobat list, are quite familiar with the GNSO and GNSO improvements. And as you know, it's very important to the future of policy development here at ICANN because the GNSO is involved in a host of important issues with respect to the GTLD space, participating in cross-functional groups with other ICANN structures. And so it's very important, and certainly from the board and community perspective, that as the GNSO improves, it really focuses on inclusiveness, a much more of a global reach, and the effectiveness and efficiency of the policy development process. The process itself is built on five primary underpinnings, five real foundations. One is adopting a working group model for policy development, really driving a lot of the recommendations and decisions down to the community level in the spirit of the bottom-up process that we endeavor to follow here at ICANN. The second major area, of course, is revising the policy development process as it exists today, finding ways to make it more effective and responsive. The third area that I'm going to touch on quite primarily today is restructuring the GNSO Council, you know, moving the council from a legislative body to more of a strategic and management role and really trying to make it much more stronger in its oversight of PDP efforts. Another critical area, of course, is enhancing constituencies, really trying to find ways to help community members operate in transparent, accountable, and accessible functions, holding groups accountable to those expectations, and making sure that a level playing field is created across the community for all the various communities that participate. And then, of course, finally, something that's critically important, not only within the GNSO, but in its communications with other groups, really trying to find ways to improve how those efforts are communicated, how policy efforts are coordinated, and how the whole package comes together. Now, the community is going to hit a very important milestone in Seoul. There's been a lot of dialogue the past couple of days on the GNSO Council site on a lot of the implementation steps that are going to be taking place to seat the new GNSO Council structure. The key elements are in the slide set forth on Adobe Connect right now. I'm not going to go into detail on those because that would be its own two-hour presentation. But I think that the critical aspect of this step is the introducing of the bicameral voting structure and how the council now operates on a number of levels, both as a party house level, contracted and non-contracted, at a developing stakeholder group structural level, and the continuing operation at the constituency level as well. Now, a number of important things are going to be taking place in the next week or so in Seoul and then in the post-Seoul environment. They're identified on the slide before you. As you know, the stakeholder group structures were approved by the board at their meeting this summer in late July, but two of the stakeholder group structures are really transitional charters. The commercial stakeholders group and the non-commercial stakeholders group, those charters are going to be continued to be considered, looked at, and discussed over the course of the next year, and that will be an important area for dialogue within the community. The council that's going to be seated in several days in Seoul is going to see 8 new representatives. There will be a great degree of continuity from members who are continuing on, but there will be a tremendous amount of fresh blood, and I'm sure the dynamics, particularly with the new structure, will be something that the community is going to take some time to adapt to, and a different culture is likely to develop with the new council. The council has approved an implementation transition plan. They are currently working through the leadership election process. Nominations have been accepted and seconded for 3 candidates, and there will continue to be, I think, some significant and active dialogue over the next week or so with candidate statements, with discussions within the various houses about the nomination of candidates as well. The new council is also going to operate under some additional and new procedures that have been recommended by the GNSO Council Operations Work Team through the Operations Steering Committee. Those new procedures, as recommended by the work team, are currently the subject of a public comment forum that's posted on the main comment page on the ICANN website. And there is still time through the end of the day tomorrow for community members to comment, provide input on those procedures. And so we certainly welcome members of the community to do that and remind those of you who haven't gotten yours in yet that the deadline does close at the end of the day tomorrow. There are going to be some very useful, I think, things developing out of those new procedures. And this is just the first step. There are going to be some additional follow-up pieces of work that are going to have to be done in that respect. And then finally, the work teams continue to work, particularly in the areas of policy development and the working group model effort. And those efforts will truly heat up, not only in Seoul, but I think in the post-Seoul environment. And so it's very important for those of you who have already signed up for those work teams to continue your participation. And as I think has been the spirit of the work team environment, new members are always welcome as long as they're willing to commit to reading up on everything that's happened beforehand. There's a lot more that I could discuss, but we've got limited time. So one area that you can look at to learn more is the GNSO Improvements Information page on the ICANN website, and we'll be doing some updates to that leading up to Seoul. But there's some useful background materials there. And to the extent that you are interested in sharing your brain power with the groups going forward, please reach out to Glenn, the secretariat for the GNSO, to make your availability known. Thanks a lot. I'll turn things over now to you, Marika.
Thank you very much, Rob. This is Marika Koenig. Thank you all for joining. I'll be covering the next 3 issues on the agenda, the first 2 of which are, as we call, policy development processes, also called PDPs, and the third one being a pre-PDP. I'll explain in further detail what that actually means in a couple of slides. So first, looking at the inter-registrar transfer policy, also known as IRTP. This consensus policy was adopted in 2004 in an effort to provide registrants with a transparent and predictable way in which domain names can be transferred between registrars. And as this was a new policy, it was decided to conduct a review shortly following the implementation of the policy to determine whether the policy was working as intended or whether there were any areas that might require further clarification or improvement. As a result of that review, a number of issues were identified that were then grouped together in 5 different PDPs that were numbered from A to E, which are being addressed in a consecutive manner. At this moment, a working group is looking at the issues that were grouped together in the called PDPB, and that group is looking at issues such as, is there a need for a process for the urgent return of a domain name, how to do inappropriate transfers, and the use of registrar lock status. So, as you can see, the working group has started only recently and will be organizing a public meeting in Seoul. The working group is expected at the end of its life cycle to develop recommendations to address the issues mentioned before for council consideration. So if you're interested in participating, you know, please contact the GNSO secretariat to sign up for the group, or you can attend the open meeting in Seoul and share your views there. On this slide, you can find some further background information and links. So for those of you that are interested to learn more about the policy itself or the activities of the working group. So a second policy development process that is currently ongoing is on post-expiration domain name recovery. This is an issue that was actually brought to the GNSO by the At-Large Advisory Committee, which raised a number of questions in relation to the predictability and transparency of existing expiration and renewal policies and practices. It, of course, also raises questions like what rights do registrants still have once their domain name registration has expired? And as a result of those questions, the GNSO decided to initiate a policy development process and formed a working group to address the following questions that are included in their charter. So as you will note, most of these questions will require the working group to gather further information on current registrar practices and evidence of actual harm occurring because of these practices, in addition to having to make an assessment of what can be considered as adequate and clear and conspicuous. So in order to address these charter questions, the working group has been meeting on a weekly basis and is actually currently conducting a registrar survey with the aim of gathering further information on registrar practices post-expiration to inform the deliberations of the working group. Like the previous working group, this working group will also be organizing a meeting in Seoul. You can expect their status update on the deliberations and the first discussion on the initial results of the survey. And, of course, there will be an opportunity as well for the community to provide input and feedback. So, again, here you'll find some further information about how to join the group or look at the working group works for a space, which we also refer to as a wiki. This is all public and open for everyone to see and participate in. So this initiative, the Registration Abuse Policies Working Group, is not a policy development process, but we're referring to it as a pre-policy development process, as it was determined that further research and discussion was required before taking a decision on whether or not to initiate a policy development process on this issue. It was brought to the attention of the Council that current registry and registrar agreements seem to lack uniformity in relation to provisions addressing abuse. But another question that was raised was, does this matter, or would more uniformity actually result in a reduction of abuse? An additional question that was raised was, what should the role of ICANN be in this area? ICANN's mission, as you all know, is focused on the DNS, but abuse can take many different shapes and forms and cross over many different areas of the Internet apart from the DNS. So as a result, a pre-PDP working group was created to look at these and other questions in order to make recommendations to the GNSO Council which areas, if any, should be suitable for policy development. So this working group was created in March and has been working on developing a working definition of abuse, a list of known abuses, which have been subdivided in different categories, such as pre-registration abuse, registration abuse, post-registration abuse, domain name use abuse. And the group has been working on defining each of these, in addition to discussing potential recommendations for next steps. Furthermore, a sub-team was created to address a number of questions in relation to the desirability or not of uniformity of registration abuse provisions and agreements, and this group has been gathering information on existing provisions and will now be discussing how those provisions are working and whether more uniformity might be desirable or not. This group will also be organizing a public meeting in Seoul which again will be an opportunity for the community to provide input and feedback to the working group. So again, here are some further links that you can look at to get some further information on the activities of the working group and some of the relevant background information. As mentioned before, these slides will be posted, so you should be able to get the links then. So with that, I'll turn it over to Liz Gaster to cover Huawei.
Thank you, Marika. Good day, everyone. Liz Gaster here. I do want to give a brief update on Huawei's studies that have been requested by the GNSO Council. Before I jump to that, I'd like to just very quickly review the definition of Huawei. Huawei service provides public access to contact information for registered name holders, and the specific requirements for what must be provided and displayed is specified in the ICANN agreements with registrars and registries. There's a list there on the slide of the required data. On the next slide is just a sample WHOIS record so that you'll have a sense of what information is provided when WHOIS is queried for a particular domain name, and this happens to be ICANN's registration. The format may vary depending on the service provider, but this does give you a visual image of a sample WHOIS record. Next, to talk a little bit about why WHOIS studies are so important and the context with which this work arose. WHOIS policy has been debated by the ICANN community for many years, and there are many interests, competing interests, with valid viewpoints that have been involved in this discussion. You have the perspective of community members like law enforcement representatives, intellectual property owners, cybercrime security experts, and others who would like easy access to accurate contact information to be more responsive for those purposes. You have significant concerns from individual registrants and the privacy advocacy community who are concerned about the protection of private information and the potential abuse of information that's publicly available. You have concerns from governments who want their legal regimes to be followed, and it's certainly the case that around the globe, the legal regimes with regard to privacy and WHOIS policies vary among countries. And you have the concern that many service providers are reluctant to absorb new costs associated with new features or requirements. And there are also registrars who earn revenue today from privacy services, so privacy services reflect the business models of many community members and participants as well. So with this backdrop that really, while there's been great discussion about WHOIS policy changes, there have not in fact been agreement about consensus changes that should be made to WHOIS, the GNSO Council decided that it would be helpful to conduct a series of studies that could provide a factual and objective basis for further policy making, and identified a broad array of studies that they would like staff to develop the feasibility of undertaking and the costs associated with undertaking those studies, with the hope that information in those key policy or in those areas would provide information to inform policy decisions in the future, information such as the possible causality between public WHOIS data and increasing spam and other harmful acts, useful information about registrants, and several of the study proposals look at identifying registrants in terms of how many are legal persons, how many are engaged in commercial purpose, how many are non-commercial natural persons, the extent and use of proxy and privacy services, et cetera. And then there's also interest in pursuing kind of the technical consideration of alternatives, especially in light of the growing number of international registrations and the fact that increasingly contact information may be provided in local character sets and not in U.S. ASCII text in many cases. So again, the GNSO Council identified several broad WHOIS study areas. Staff has kind of categorized them into five general areas that I'll quickly update you on here. The first three, we're taking the approach that it would be, we're going to solicit requests for proposals to determine costs and feasibility because it was our assessment that it would be difficult for staff to come up with costs ourselves and felt it would be more useful to consult with or request information from, you know, qualified independent researchers. And so there are three broad study areas where we are going to be requesting proposals. The first is on misuse of public WHOIS data to generate spam or for other illegal or undesirable activities. This particular RFP has already been posted on the 27th of September, and we've provided 60 days for responses. A second study area that we've originally referred to as misrepresentation, we are now looking at a better articulation being registrant identification studies that would provide information about registrants, and we are hoping to have an RFP ready by the end of October for input. And then finally, we'll be looking at the Council's request at proxy and privacy services, and in particular, the extent to which they may be used for abusive or illegal purposes and may or may not complicate investigation into electronic crime. I just want to point out that my categorization of these studies are based on hypotheses that were articulated by members of the community and by the council. They do have the way in which they are articulated is in order to prove a hypothesis that may or may not be true, and so they are inherently non-neutral in their descriptors. But you will see from the documents themselves that the intent is to collect the data objectively, but using and staying very true to the original proposals that were requested by the council. This fourth area of study requested by the council would examine how various WHOIS services display non-ASCII character sets, really looking at the client-side interface. That's a study that we as staff have recommended be held off on for the present time because we recognize that this new working group being formed by the ESAC and GNSO to consider display specifications for internationalized registration data may be looking at that and may have further ideas about where that should fall into the overall examination of that issue. And then lastly, the fifth area of study that the council has requested, this was actually requested in a subsequent request, the first four being asked of staff in March of this year, and this one was requested in May, really asks for a compilation of potential WHOIS service requirements based on current requirements and a compilation of policy recommendations and proposals that have been discussed in the past, not necessarily agreed to in the past, but well-documented discussions that have occurred surrounding various proposals. And while staff work is just beginning, we will be consulting, putting together a proposal straw man, and we'll be consulting with the supporting organizations and advisory committees as that work proceeds. So just a couple of notes about some next steps and ways to get involved. We are planning to conduct a workshop on internationalized registration data in Seoul on Wednesday the 28th at 1500 local time. It would be great to have contributions to the SSAC GNSO IRD working group just being formed, and that group is seeking participants at this time. Staff will be releasing study information on these areas of study that I've reviewed as information becomes available, but it will take several months for each of these steps to be complete, so look for information to be shared when we have it. And then the next step following, certainly for the three that we are soliciting RFPs for information, once that information is provided, we will share that with the GNSO Council and the community, and then the Council and staff will then consider which studies to conduct, and there's the question of really whether studies will be conducted in light of the recognition that there's differences of opinion in the community, not only about which studies to conduct, but whether studies are really appropriate at all. And so there will be a further discussion of that. There's some additional information that I've provided in terms of resources, and I do want to mention that I'll be providing greater detail on the details of the work that we're engaged in, since this is kind of a staff. The status is a staff token at this point to do the work in Seoul for council discussion on Saturday the 24th, and also be providing information in the public GNSO meeting the following Wednesday. And I'll be glad to answer any questions when we get to the question and answer stage. So moving on, I'd like to hand it over to Margie for the registrar accreditation agreement.
Thank you, Liz, and good afternoon, everyone. I'm going to spend a few minutes and talk to you about the registrar accreditation agreement and some of the work that's being done with respect to enhancing the agreement. And then I will also spend some time talking about policy work related to new GTLDs. As many of you may know, there have been a set of recent amendments that were adopted by the board in May, and these included a number of changes to the registrar accreditation agreement, that is the standard document that all registrars sign with ICANN to become accredited as a registrar. Essentially, the changes fell into four categories and provided a series of tools and additional provisions to help ICANN enforce the obligations under the agreement. There's provisions related to audits, for example, group liability for affiliated entities. There's changes in the registrar fees. And there's also a series of protections that deal with registrant protections, such as new data escrow requirements, where a proxy or privacy registration, if it's being offered, there has to be notice as to whether the information is being escrowed or not. And there's also contractual obligations for resellers. Some of the amendments addressed enhancing the registrar marketplace, and so there are specific provisions that relate to registrar training and testing in order to help ICANN educate registrars on some of the requirements and obligations that relate to being a registrar. There were also a series of changes that dealt with notice and data retention. As it currently stands, the contracts are being implemented voluntarily through registrars voluntarily signing the agreements. And as their agreements become renewed, then they will be bound by the additional provisions. We're pleased to report that as of October 1st, approximately 86% of domain names under management are with registrars that have committed to the 2009 RAA amendments. So we've gotten a significant amount of voluntarily actions on the part of registrars to agree to these new terms. As part of the approval of the amendment package that I just referred to, there's additional activity that's being conducted through a joint effort between the GNSO and the at-large, and we refer to it as the RAA drafting team. And they're tasked with two areas of responsibility. The first one is to develop a registrant rights and responsibilities charter, and that's basically a document that outlines the existing rights and obligations that registrants have through the terms of the registrar accreditation agreement. And where that drafting team is currently working, they are looking at an initial inventory that was put together by policy staff of the various rights and responsibilities, and they're going to convert that into a charter that can be easily referred to by registrants so they understand the rights and responsibilities of being a registrant of a domain name. The drafting team is also dealing with identifying topics and a process for identifying additional amendments to the Registrar Accreditation Agreement, and they're currently beginning their process. The ICANN compliance team will be putting together a document that has input for consideration for this working team to consider. And why is this important? Essentially, the Registrar Accreditation Agreement describes the registrar rights and obligations, and it's rare that that document is amended. We're currently in a situation where we have the ability to evaluate amendments to the Registrar Accreditation Agreement that may be able to provide ICANN with better tools to obtain registrar compliance. The working groups are just getting underway, so we are seeking volunteers to participate in this effort. And if you'd like to participate, I've provided some information on this slide. We will also have a workshop in Seoul of the drafting team to work on both of these tasks. The next topic is the new GTLD policy work, and there's a little bit of policy work going on right now with respect to new GTLDs. As Denise referred, we are in the process of developing the implementation, and the draft applicant guidebook has just recently been published, but there are issues that the GNSO has been asked to look at, and specifically these relate to the intellectual property issues. In the draft applicant guidebook version 3, there were a number of staff implementation proposals that were made in the version 3 that were based in part on the recommendations of a group of trademark experts that we refer to as the IRT, the Implementation Recommendation Team. Specifically, the version 3 of the draft applicant guidebook includes a requirement for the QIS registries. There's also a modified post-dispute delegation mechanism that deals with how to dispute problems within a registry after it's been launched. There was a proposal for a globally protected marks list that the IRT made in its final report, and that has not been included in the draft applicant guidebook. And just as recently as this week, the ICANN board has sent a letter to the GNSO Council to provide input on other IRT recommendations, and specifically I've listed them here on the slide. The first one is the uniform rapid suspension procedure that is designed to take down instances of trademark infringement related to domain name abuse in new GTLDs. We refer to that as the URF. The second is a trademark clearinghouse, which is a database of trademark rights that can be used in both a pre-launch trademark claim service and also in Sunrise registration processes. And in the letter that the ICANN board sent to the GNSO Council, it has asked the GNSO Council to evaluate these solutions to determine whether they are consistent with prior GNSO policy work. Specifically, the GNSO policy in the past made a recommendation that new GTLD strings should not infringe the rights of others. And the question to the GNSO Council from the board is, do these additional protections, are they consistent with the GNSO policy? This work will be done on an expedited basis. The board has requested a response by December 14th of this year. The GNSO Council may also look at other issues related to new GTLDs, specifically the issue of vertical integration of registrars and registries. And this is the question of whether registries should own registrars, whether there should be cross-ownership, and there's a lot of competition-related issues related to this topic. And so the GNSO is considering whether it should adopt rules that address this topic, that would provide staff guidance in implementation of the new GTLD program. And the GNSO is in its very early stages of policy work. It has requested ICANN staff to develop a issues report to determine whether a policy development process should be initiated on this topic. So why is this important? As we indicated earlier, ICANN is in the process of finalizing the draft applicant guidebook. We've just published version 3. And this is really the time to make suggestions that can impact the final implementation model that is used in the new GTLD program. With respect to trademark concerns, there's a lot of concerns related to cost and administrative burden to brand owners. There's the potential increase in cyber squatting and consumer protection, consumer confusion, and then there's also the scalability of existing remedies, such as the EDRP, and to a larger namespace. With respect to vertical integration, this may be the time to evaluate what is the appropriate model for domain name distribution in a larger namespace. And there also may be competition concerns or benefits that may suggest the need for further analysis or policy work on this topic. So if this is a concern, you know, an issue that is a concern to you, there's lots of ways to participate. You can submit comments in the draft applicant guidebook, and I've provided the comment form here on the slide. You can also participate in the SOL meetings. There'll be meetings on vertical integration. There'll be meetings on the trademark concerns, and that would be the appropriate forum to really voice your concerns and help ICANN develop the implementation models for the new GTLDs. And now I'm going to pass it over to Bart, and he'll talk to you about CCNSO activities.
Good day. I want to provide you a brief overview of some of the policy-related CCNSO activities. As most of you will know, CCNSO is not just focused on policy development, but also provides the CCTLD community a platform for information sharing, exchange of experiences, and exchange with other supporting organizations and advisory committees. Looking at the major activities or policy-related activities, the first one is very obviously the CCNSO IDN policy development process. This is the second process, development policy development process of the CCNSO, and I would say the first one I will touch briefly on that one. The second one, and this is, I think, a major milestone, at least from the perspective of the CCNSO and the CCTLD community, is the IDN Fast Track, and particularly the work done through the IDNC working group, and which resulted in the implementation plan, and hopefully it will be adopted by the board at this meeting. And the third topic I briefly want to touch upon is other issues, in fact, other working groups. And one of them is the delegation, redelegation working group, as an example how the CCNSO structures its activities. Moving on to the IDNCCPDP. The IDNCCPDP is, in fact, has two objectives. One is the development of the overall policy for the introduction and delegation of IDNCCTLDs. As some of you know, the Fast Tracks just provides a mechanism, and the CCs have used this to distinguish it from the PDP, because it's just a temporary arrangement, I would call it. The overall policy will provide the overall mechanisms or the overall mechanisms for the selection and introduction of IDNCCTLD, and the IDNC working group took considerable care not to or to minimize preemption on the outcome of the PDP as well. So that's the first element of the PDP. A second element of this PDP is adjustment of the CZNSO structure. The CZNSO, when formed, was envisioned to have one CCTLD or one entity per territory. With the introduction of IDN CCTLDs, in some cases, you will have two or more CCTLDs, quote unquote, per territory, and this will impact the whole voting structure and other elements of the structure of the CCNSO. So that's going to be an element of the PDP as well, how to adjust the structure. Currently, the way the PDP is run is that there are two working groups, one dealing with the overall policy for the selection introduction. This is a cross-SOAC working group, and which is formed, say, in a similar fashion as the IDNC working group, and it's working in a similar fashion as well. Just hopefully by tomorrow or Monday, a topic paper which defines through topics and questions should define the scope of the overall policy will be published and will be open for public comment until the 23rd of November and will be discussed at the CCNSO meeting on Wednesday morning. The second part of the PDP, say the bit about the adjustment, again, there will be a working group formed, and this time it's just for CCTLD register or managers and some experts, because that will have a clear internal focus. But again, public participation in and comments are, of course, always welcome. So I've touched upon the recent developments as well. How do I get involved? Of course, through public comments period, you can attend the CCNSO meeting on Wednesday morning as well. And as most SOs and ACs have representation on the working group on the overall policy, you can use them as well to see what's happening or to raise issues and topics. The IDN fast track, say from a policy perspective in the CCNSO, say the main work was done with the IDNC working group. Currently, and I think this is similar to the process with the new GTLDs, ICANN staff is seeking comments on its on the implementation plan. There are, I would say, over the last couple of months, there have been some major topics for discussion, which we hopefully will be closed or reach closure at the SIL meeting. The major topics were the legal arrangement between an IDN CCTLD manager and ICANN, the financial contributions of the IDN CCTLD managers to ICANN's cost of operation, and the whole debate about the variance in relation, again, in relation to the IDNA revision as well. With regard to the legal arrangement, you'll see that the proposal is to have a general terms and conditions form which needs to be signed by the IDN CCTLD applicant at the moment. This entity wants to enter the process, and that is a mandatory form, and it can indicate on the general terms and conditions form whether it wants to enter into an exchange of letters or a documentation of responsibility. But this is purely on a voluntary basis, so similar to the accountability framework program. In the general terms and conditions, there is a clear statement that the IDN CCTL, the operator, has to adhere to all relevant standards, and including the IDNA protocol and the IDN guidelines, and there is a mechanism for dispute resolution with regard to this. So it's called the cooperative engagement route. Also included in the general terms and conditions is the need to pay a application fee. It is formulated in the sense of it is expected but not mandatory, so that is a translation of prearranged and recommended, and the same is true for the annual contribution to ICANN's cost of operations. And with regard to the variance, there has been a major, I would say, major change from the based on the feedback and input from the technical community and from the ICANN community regarding the first proposal. Hopefully by the SUL meeting, the board will adopt and approve the implementation plan as presented. If that were true, then the IDN CCTL, the intention is to launch the IDN fast track at or around the 16th of November. Launching in this case means that an IDN CCTLD operator can first request the string of the and have it validated, the string for the IDN CCTLD, and as a second step, and only after the string has been validated and published on the ICANN website, it can request the delegation of the IDN CCTLD string. And this is a process that will be similar to the current delegation process for CCTLDs. That is with regard to the IDN CC or IDN Fast Track. The only thing, maybe in addition, there will be a there have been organized a couple of workshops. I think one of the major ones is on Monday afternoon at the CEO meeting, which is a broad workshop and with led by staff to go through the proposed final implementation plan, and the CCNSO will discuss the implementation plan on Wednesday morning, and that session is open, of course. As an example of the way the CCNSO organizes activities, I've included some references to the major working groups of the CCNSO. The CCNSO and the CCTLD community organizes activities, even information sharing, and exchanging information with other SOs and ACs through working groups. Now, this particular one is on the delegation, redelegation, and retirement of CCTLDs. This is a bit of a strange beast. This one is was established to advise the CCNSO Council whether or not to launch a PDP. The reason is it is viewed that delegation, redelegation, retirement of CCTLD is at the core of the existence of, say, these topics are at the core of the existence of the CCNSO when it was formed. And in order to understand and view the extent of the issues involved and to what extent there are policies and a need for a change, this working group was created. And it was reinforced again by the board resolution of 30th September with regard to the retirement of DOTs, the former .yu CCTLDs. at the request of .yu, the board asked the CCNSO to look into the retirement of CCTLDs because it's such a it's more or less a practice that was started with a few years ago with the retirement of .zr for Zaire. As far as I know, that's one of the first ones that got retired, and it has become a grown practice, but it's excuse me, not very clear how the policy looks like or should look like. So, and there is clearly need for advice from the CCNSO on this one. This one, say before this working group will finish, it will take probably another 3 or 4 ICANN meetings before it can produce its final recommendations. Currently, the working group is designing a work plan how to approach all these issues, because as you could imagine, this is at the heart of not just the CCNSO, but also impacts the CCTLDs themselves as well. Again, how to get involved, that is through public participation at the CCNSO meeting itself, and the working group document will be published, and as far as I can tell, the working group will produce documents for public comment on each of the individual areas, like the delegation, redelegation, and retirement. CCNSO working groups, as I just informed you, it is probably the manner in which the CCNSO organizes its activities, and over a broad range of I've included for this presentation 3 of the, I would say, main ones to give you a sense of what is happening. One is a technical working group. It is on the exchange of information between CCTLDs, and it liaises between the CCTLD community and IANA. And say, with regard to the first one, it organizes what is called the Tech Day on Monday, and which is open to non-CCTLDs as well. The second one is the Strategic and Operational Planning Working Group, which was created to facilitate, organize, and increase the input of the CCTLD community into ICANN strategic and operational planning process. They've concluded a very successful, I would say, workshop at the Sydney meeting, which is now followed up by a survey on among the CCTLDs on what they consider to be important strategic issues from a global perspective. And the third one is the incident response planning. This is a working group created in the aftermath of the Conficker incident, and it's there to structure the communication channels with regard to these incidents among CCTLDs and between CCTLDs, ICANN, and the broader security community. There are other working groups as well. I've included some references to these working groups, and at the CCNSO ICANN.org websites, under working groups, there is this whole list of working groups, their charters, and the membership. That's all for me. Liz, you want to take over now?
I do. Thank you, Bart. There's 2 more things we'd like to do today. The first is to ask you to complete a quick poll on issues that you'd like to hear more about in future webinars. And that poll is going up on Adobe Connect right now, and I'd like you to take a moment or two to just check boxes of things you would like to hear more about. And also, if you have things that you'd like to hear about that are not on this list, just please send an email to the policy-staff@icann.org so we can collect those, because we're very anxious in to make these responsive and useful and interesting to the community. So that's the first thing. While you're doing that, I'd like to ask the what we're going to do next is really go to the Q&A, and I'd like to ask the operator to open all the lines, recognizing that we've had you all on mute just to keep background noise to a minimum and enable the presenters to go through our presentation. But we are happy to take a cue and have more of a dialogue, and we want to go first to the questions that you've been submitting in the chat, recognizing that the question submission process is not as visible as it would be. So I'm going to read questions that you've asked, and in many cases the staff has tried to already answer the questions. Oops, I'm echoing. I'm sorry. I hear that. I'll try to figure that out. Still try to go through and repeat verbally our answers to the questions we can answer. And if you have any further questions and time permits, then we'll ask free to raise your hand in the Adobe Connect optimally or type in question, and we'll do our best to cover them. And questions we can't answer on the call, either for lack of time or lack of the right people on the phone, we will follow up with to do that. So beginning first of all, we have the poll, and let me just finish up with the poll. We have we have three things tied for first place: GNSO improvement, activities of the Security and Stability Advisory Committee, and registration of use policies, with some other items included with high. So we will have to incorporate that into our planning. And let's turn now to the Q&A. And thank you for submitting the poll. And again, if you could just put your lines on mute if you're not asking a question. But let's just, Heath, do you want to start? The first question was Danny Younger's. Why did the ICANN mangle the both delegation dispute resolution procedure in DAG 3?
Sure. And Danny, I want to compliment you on your ability to simultaneously ask the question and convey a very strong opinion all in the same sentence.
Thanks, Denise.
One person's mangle is the other, is another person's thoughtful, consensus-driven proposal. But the short answer here is that I'd encourage you to post the questions in the question box for Seoul, since your questions are relevant to several workshops that are being held in Seoul related to the draft applicant guidebook. And of course, the public forum is open on the draft applicant guidebook. And I'd encourage you to also share your views and questions there.
Okay, so not every question in the question box is a question. There are some comments, and I'll just quickly read them, and if there's any elaboration, want to provide that opportunity either to the staff, or we may have responded, or to the questioner. Aubrey asked what's told to newcomers. That was early on in the presentation, I think, in the context of the restructuring, Aubrey. Okay, Aubrey may no longer be on the line, so we'll just make a note of that.
Hey, Liz, this is Rob Bogart. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Great. I just wanted to point out that there were three or four questions that I did answer in the chat room. I confess that I wasn't able to answer that question from Avery because I did not really understand the context.
Okay. There was a question about when WHOIS studies would be completed. I think the WHOIS service requirements compilation be targeting for early next year to complete with a draft, hopefully prior to the February public meeting. On the other studies, I think it really depends on what we find in the responses to the RFPs and then what the Council decides in terms of priorities for proceeding with studies, which studies to proceed with, and obviously potential costs of the studies could factor into timeframes for completion. So not sure that's answerable at this time, but we'll be keeping the Council informed, and I think the Council will be, you know, addressing that at the appropriate time, when, you know, when they have more insight into that. There was a question, Danny, about when we'll know which registrars are operating under which RAA contract. I know Margie addressed some of that in her comments about the percentage of registrants who are currently covered by the new contract. But I don't know that we know the number of registrars who are operating, that we policy staff today on the call know how many registrars are operating under new RAA contract. Margie, do you have more on that?
That's correct. I don't have any specifics on the actual number, but we can certainly look into that.
Again, we apologize for the echo. It seems to be caused by the opening of lines, but I'm not sure we want to give up the opening of lines if people can put up with the echo. The opening of lines seems like a good idea. So unless someone really cannot hear.
Liz, this is Marika. We have actually muted the lines again because a lot of people were commenting that it was really unlistenable.
Okay. Well, then if you want to talk, then please queue up on the feel free to queue up in the attendee list and we'll open your line type in a question so we don't miss anybody's input.
Yeah, and people can raise their hands in Adobe Connect and we can then individually unmute people and hoping that that won't cause an echo. And apologies for the inconvenience.
Okay, the next question Danny asks about allowing registrars to weasel out of full escrow obligations by way of a prominent notice loophole and concern about how is that in the public interest.
I can address that, Liz. It's Margie. As I indicated, that we are in the process of developing additional amendments to the RAA, so we certainly welcome your input, and please feel free to participate in that working group to address some of those issues related to escrow.
Margie, you may want to share what you know on the next one, too. Can Margie explain the process by which some of the IRT recommendations, that's the implementations recommendations team recommendations, were accepted or rejected by ICANN staff when drafting the DAG 3?
The DAG 3, the recommendations that are contained in the DAG 3 are a compilation of the IRT recommendations, analysis of the public comments that have been received to date, and staff concerns. So as you read through those documents, you'll see there certainly are differences, but they're based on, you know, a combination of all of those concerns.
Thank you. Adam Palmer asked whether we could provide more detail on expectations for further ICANN policy plans regarding vertical integration. Are there any new materials or economic studies being produced that will be discussed during the sessions in Seoul? If so, can ICANN provide copies of these findings to the community? So we did respond that there is a webinar planned for Monday on this topic in which the information that we do have will be shared. And I don't think we're prepared on this call to describe what new materials or economic studies might be produced, but we're encouraging you to participate in that webinar for more information. And there is information on all of the lists for RSVPing so that you can be provided with dial-in information, which has not been circulated yet, but which I'm told internally it will be distributed very shortly, hopefully today, on that. And there will be further conversation in Seoul. The next question is Danny Younger's. I think we addressed some of this already. Why is staff unwilling to consider convening a group to determine principles governing the allocation of names for a measured rollout of new GTLDs? Is peer compensation tied into pushing a given approach against the community will? Denise?
Thank you, Danny, for that follow-up question and articulation of your position. Staff compensation is not tied to the outcome of the new GTLD implementation plan. The draft applicant guidebook tracks with the new GTLD policy approved by the GNSO and accepted by the board, and staff is developing the applicant guidebook under direct instructions by the board. And I would just again note for the benefit of others on the phone that the applicant guidebook and the recommendations and proposals it includes is still in draft form, and we're very much encouraging continued robust community discussion and input on it. And I would encourage you to use the public forum to comment on the draft applicant guidebook, as well as using the question box that will be posted soon for this whole meeting, and participate either in person or remotely in the numerous workshops related to the draft applicant guidebook that will be occurring in Seoul. And thank you again for your question. Liz, would you like to go to the next question? I think we may have lost Liz and her connection.
I do not show any more questions, unless you do. Sorry, I was... And I do not show anyone with their hand raised. And I don't show any more questions in the question box.
So let's take a final call for any additional questions or comments that people would like to share. Click the little blue man if you want to raise your hand, or post a question in writing in the chat Q&A box. We'll give you another minute or two to do that before calling this to a close.
You also can feel free to contact any of us directly if you have any further questions or interest in a particular topic, or would like to learn more about work that's being done, or would like to contribute any thoughts or participation. And so feel free to do that, or to the generalpolicy-staff@ICANN.org mailbox. And also a reminder to subscribe to the monthly policy update if you have not done so already, for regular information about policy activities that are underway. So thank you all for your participation. This will be recorded, and a transcript will be provided, as well as the slides. Thanks from all of us.
Thank you, everyone.